Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 236 of the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media. And I love doing this show. You guys know that. Love talking to players. But it's especially great when we get a major league manager in, like Pat Murphy of the Milwaukee Brewers. Skip, how are you today?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Oh, doing boy. First of all, you're joining us from Pittsburgh on your road trip. Like, that is a great shot. Did they give you the suite of all suites there?
I've got a pretty nice room that I don't really need, to be honest with you. They're wasting money.
No, that's not true. Hey, listen, man, when you're the man in charge, you got to walk around a little bit like, hey, like if the players were ever to knock on your door on a road trip, which I'm sure never happens, but they got to walk in and be like, damn, all right, this dude means business.
Yeah, I don't know if that indicates that or not, but it's a hell of a nice room.
Okay, good, good. Well, listen, we got a lot of ground to cover. Super excited. We wanted to obviously talk to you about your team and getting your first full-time, you know, crack at the major leagues at age 65 and all that sort of stuff. But I don't think a lot of people know your backstory. So I'm glad we're not in the same room, because you probably would have just landed at least a jab, if not an uppercut. You really wanted to be a boxer when you were growing up?
I did all the sports, Chris. And I love boxing, and I did it for quite some time. It's always stayed in my life. I still hit the bag. I still love to spar with people, young kids, old kids, it doesn't matter. I love it. I love the feeling of it. I was an amateur fighter. I did some decent things, but basketball, baseball, and football, played them all, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. I actually played all three in college at some different level. I transferred a couple times, and I ended up in baseball, and I coached college football for a little while. And but in baseball, just kept coming up. I played in the minor leagues, still coached college football at the same time, and then baseball just kept coming my way. And then I landed a couple head small time college jobs at small schools. And then Notre Dame really wasn't looking for a good coach, and they figured, oh, this guy can't screw it up. You know, it's a part-time job. They gave me the job, and things turned to gold. Yeah, it was just the right place at the right time. I had great people around me. While there wasn't much budget or a field or anything like that, it's the University of Notre Dame. So a lot of great things can happen, and I got credit for it undeservingly, but we got a lot of wins right away, and it was pretty consistent. And then I got offered a bunch of jobs and landed at Arizona State. Never thought I'd leave Notre Dame, but landed at Arizona State and everything went right. And so I had a great college career and really wanted to try to be in professional ball. Right at the end, I just decided, like, hey, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to go into professional ball.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to digest there. But first, I got to ask you about the boxing, because – I had long-time umpire Teddy Barrett on the show, who, of course, used to be a sparring partner.
And I used to go face-to-face at home plate when I would bring the lineup card out when I was bench coach. And I'd look at Teddy, and I'd say, what do you got for me today? And he'd give me, you know, he'd get in his stance and give me a pose. So, and the guys would always say, hey, could you get Teddy? I'm like, I don't know. He's a little bigger than I am, but he looked like he was pretty formidable.
Was there anybody, like, listen, you're not that much older. You're an East Coast guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You're not that much older than Mike Tyson. So you had to have heard something about him when he was coming up.
I've met Mike, and I was in the, I've spent a few days in training camp, not working out, but before he fought Holyfield in Vegas, I spent a few days up there watching him train. You know, I love it. I love everything about it. So, no, I was going to turn professional when I was 22, but I wasn't any good. I was just a guy that fought some amateur fights and happened to win. But I didn't fight anybody good. I won a couple tournaments, but it wasn't – It wasn't anything serious. Okay. I wasn't that good.
All right. That's all right. As long as you could handle your own in a bar fight. That's all, because I'm 0-3 all time. I got to be honest with you. I'm no good.
They're not good. They're not good conditions there. You got to know your surroundings.
Got it. All right.
Pick the guy with the big muscles. You know what I mean? Pick the guy with the big muscles that looks like Tarzan, but doesn't fight like that.
Oh, okay. All right. Good one.
You picked the wrong guys, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I haven't had one since I was 15 as a freshman in high school. It didn't work out well for me. I try to use my words, Skip.
Yeah, that's a good tactic.
Okay. I love it how you slipped in there while I was coaching baseball. I also coached football. This is out at Mud in Claremont in Southern California, right? And so how the heck does that work where you're the baseball coach and the assistant football coach in college?
That's the way it was in Division III. I did it at a place called Maryville College in Tennessee, and then again at Claremont. And that's a great existence, man. You live on campus. I think my first job at Maryville, I got $3,000. And I lived on campus. You ate the dorm food. You recruited your whole team. Football was, 7 in the morning to 10 at night. It was just an incredible experience. You learn about coaching. When you coach football, after that, you're really well prepared to coach, because the organization and the preparation is just so valuable. And once you do that, soup to nuts, it's a good foundation. Because I didn't know what I was doing. I was playing minor league baseball, and I just go and sign after my college baseball season. I just go sign and go to whoever would take me. But the thing is that, I wasn't serious about that. I just love playing. So I'd go play. In those days, you could do that. There was teams that would pick you up, or independent leagues you'd go play in, whatever. The independent teams were in the professional league. So mm-hmm. 1 year I played on an independent team that was in the Northwest League. And everybody else was affiliated, but our team was an independent team. They used to do it like that in the 80s. But the coaching in the Division III was just, it was beautiful, man. You learn so much. You build great relationships. These kids are like really solid people. But it's really valuable. And then I went out to Claremont, which is a great academic school. So then the people at Notre Dame figured, well, this guy must be a good academician. He knows about student athletes. little did they know I got rejected from school there 4 times. But
all right, Skip, true or false that you cold called the athletic director at Notre Dame and told him you are talking to your next head baseball coach?
I did say that. That is true. Gene Corrigan was the athletic director at the time. A kid the previous day had walked in my office. I was living in my office at Claremont. A kid walked in my office and said, my name's Chris Penny. My sister plays volleyball here. I'm here for graduation. I'm a baseball player at Notre Dame, and the coach just resigned, Larry Gallo. Well, I had just asked Larry Gallo if I could be a graduate assistant there the year before. It didn't work out. Anyway, he resigned. And so Chris says, I heard you're a Notre Dame fan. You got Notre Dame stuff up in your office. You love Notre Dame. I just wanted to tell you. So when he left, I called Gene Corrigan, got the number from wherever you get the number from in those days, and just called Notre Dame and said, okay, athletic department, they transfer me. Woman by the name of Jeannie Neely answered the phone, who became a key to this whole thing. I said, Jeannie, I need to talk to Gene Corrigan. My name is Pat Murphy. I'm the next baseball coach at Notre Dame. She laughed. And we built a little relationship, and I told her what my deal was and how I grew up loving Notre Dame. I know every football player's number from the 1968 to 1970, whatever. And I said, I can tell you, I love this stuff. I would rather be the coach at Notre Dame than be the manager of the Dodgers. Anyways, Gene got on the phone. He snickered when I laughed. He goes, no, we don't. It's a part-time job. We don't know what we're going to do. We may drop baseball here at Notre Dame. We don't have scholarships, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, Gene, I want this job very badly. I can make things happen, blah, blah, blah. He said, well, put your resume in. We'll call you. Well, that wasn't good enough. I called Jeannie back, and I said, Jeannie, look, I'm coming there tomorrow. I want to meet this guy because I'm leaving Thursday. I got picked as the Olympic coach for the Dutch. And I said, I'm leaving Thursday for Holland, but I'll cancel it if I can get a job. She said, no, don't fly up here. I said, Jeannie, I got my flight flying up there. So the next morning I flew up there, got off the flight and then called Jeannie back. She arranged for a meeting with an assistant athletic director, Roger Velisari. I did that. Roger hugged me at the end of it. We traded Notre Dame stories and he got me in with Gene. I talked to Gene, toured the campus, blah, 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 blah. They called me a month later. I get the job. I was in Holland. They called me and told me I got the job. So that's how it went. Seven grand. I thought it was monthly, but I found out it was yearly.
What were you living in Lou Holtz's guest house?
No, I got to be good friends. I'm still close with Lou. He was magnificent to me. You know, they say he's brutal on his coaches, and I saw some things, but he was magnificent to me. I mean, this guy mentored me, saw my passion for Notre Dame, let me in his meetings. I'd go to practice very often, knew all the players, and yeah, I still keep in touch, man. Skip and his son and I became good friends also, but Lou was my first call when I got the job at the Brewers. The day of the press conference, through my our Dan Larea, our guy that handles all our travel, and he came to me. He goes, "I got a phone call for you, it's Lou Holtz." Unbelievable. Yeah, great man. Great man.
What did he tell you?
He said, "Well, this is." He's, "Hey, Murphy, this is a lot easier than beating in first year to a team called Incarnate Word in San Antonio." And he made so much fun of me for that. "I never heard of Incarnate Word, you know." And he goes, "This is going to be a lot tougher than beating Incarnate Word, Murphy." He remembered that all those years. That was 1988.
That's awesome. Yeah, he was one of a kind. "Oh, we're not very good. I don't think we're going to have any chance against that tough Miami team. I'll tell you, they're so well coached and they can play.
That's pretty good, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah,
I'm not sure if the University of Navy's got a better defense than anybody in the country."
Hey, more of the show coming your way. But first, I want to talk about something near and dear to my heart. That's right. It's my pooch. Sydney. And of course, there's more and more dog people around here that are taking the word of veterinarians who are saying, quit the kibble, kick the cans, feed your dog something that is actually dog food. Well, the Farmer's Dog Food is developed by veterinarians, made fresh from real meat and veggies, portioned for your dog, and delivered right to your door. It isn't just high-quality, fresh food. They also send the food pre-portioned specifically to meet your dog's needs. You head on over to thefarmersdog.com. You fill out a questionnaire. It takes less than 5 minutes. We're talking about the breed of your dog, the age of your dog, how much it usually eats, how much exercise it gets, and then voila, they send it. And for our dog, Sydney, it comes, and it actually says Sydney on the food. Comes frozen in a big box, so you just stick it in the freezer. About, I don't know, 24 to 48 hours before you're ready to open a specific packet, you stick it in the fridge, it thaws out, and it's good. It is great for their coat. It is great for their breath. It gives them high energy level. My dog, Sydney, loves the food so much that every time we go to the fridge to eat something for us, she runs on over to the fridge. She's like, "Is it time for the Farmer's Dog?" I mean, that's literally what she says. It makes the dog talk for God. All right, that part's not accurate, but you understand what I'm saying. A fresh diet has been found to give all sorts of benefits, from the healthier coat and skin. I talked to you about the better breath, and just makes them a happier dog. And isn't that what it's all about? So the right time is now to invest in your dog's health. Head on over to thefarmersdog.com/rose. You're going to get 50% off when you do that, your first box. Plus, you get free shipping, which is no small deal because it's a big time box. Head on over to thefarmersdog.com/rose for half off, because at the end of the day, you're going to get your pooch to look up to you and say, "Rah, rah, roo." So, by the way, your life changed when you're at Notre Dame, in part because you end up bringing a kid to school who's got probably the most awkward batting stance in the history of the sport. Are you the reason that Craig Counsell never changed his batting stance?
No, I can't take credit for that. He came in with a totally ordinary stance. He was about 128 pounds and just a great kid. He was my first recruit. The athletic director I told you about, Roger Velisari, my first day on the job, he said, "Hey, you got to go visit this kid in Wisconsin, blah, 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 blah. His dad used to coach here. His dad played here, blah, 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 blah. He works for the Brewers. You got to go up." He arranged it. I went up, saw a Brewers game, sat with Sal Bando, and Craig and his buddy worked out on the field before the game, and I watched the workout. And it's probably illegal in some goofy way, but I just watched the workout, and I'm like, I don't know. And I watched the kid work out. You can't really tell. And like, we don't have scholarships. We don't have anything. Like, yeah, sure, he can play for us. I didn't know. I get a lot of credit for that, but I didn't know if he's any good or not. But anyways, met the mom and dad. They're wonderful people. Craig's mom just passed away, Jan. She's just unbelievable woman. He committed to come, and he came in there, and every year he just got a little better, a little better, a little better. By his senior year, he was a legit player. But no, he was normal batting stance, and he came up with that on his own.
Okay. End up getting eventually to Arizona State after about 7-8 seasons in South Bend. What in the world would make you recruit like a 5-foot-nothing guy like Dustin Pedroia?
My assistant came to me, Jay Safaro, who was also an Italian, and I warned him. I said, don't just recruit the Italians, Jay. You know, you gotta recruit some other guys. He grew up with me in New York and had an affinity for the smaller Italian kid, you know, like he was. Anyway, he said, Murph, we're not going to worry about shortstop for the next 4 years. This guy can flat out play. Then I see him, and I'm like, okay, your job's on the line here, because this kid, he better be able to play, because he's no strength, no speed, no arm strength. I'm like, how? Well, then I watched him play a little bit, and you could easily see this kid carried a chip on his shoulder, bigger than he was. And, he's special, man. That kid was special from day one. Again, I get great credit for that, but he did it, man. He walked in and was a good player. Your ball couldn't go under. He couldn't hit a ball through his legs because the way he fielded, he bent down, it would hit him in the cup. So he would – nothing would get by him. Yeah. this kid was special.
That's awesome.
And he still is. I mean, we're still close. You mentioned those two guys. Those are two of my best friends in the world. They're just wonderful people, man. They're great dads. They're into it, you know, they're into all the right stuff, and they love baseball, and they don't back off. They do it with different personalities, but Pedroia, that's who he is, man. That's who he is.
So
you
have this tremendous run in Tempe, Arizona, where you go to the College World Series 4 times. You end up losing in the national championship game 1 year by a football score. I think it was like 21-14 or something ridiculous. You have your ending there at Arizona State. What made you then want to go beat the bushes in the minor leagues and have these ridiculous bus rides and everything else at pro baseball?
Right. Well, we had the NCAA investigation that was, I mean, it was an injustice. It was a joke, but you know, I run the program, and then, you got people there doing investigations. I've never done investigation, never been in a college baseball game, and just interpreted the rules to the letter of the law. And everybody knew there was nothing. There was an independent service that the school hired that said there was nothing there. There was the Pac-10 who had their own compliance, said there was nothing there. And then all of a sudden this NCAA come in, and there's miscommunication, and I didn't handle it very well either. I mean, let's be honest. I was like, I know I didn't do anything wrong. There's no dishonesty, no cheating. They still didn't find any of that. No dishonesty, no cheating, no competitive advantage. So why should there be investigation? It's a joke. And a lot of the stuff that they claimed were major violations aren't even rules anymore. But you go through it, you think you're the most persecuted guy in the world, but through that was the silver lining of, through that injustice, so many great things happened to me. But in the beginning, I mean, nobody in college baseball really wanted to touch me. I got offered some smaller jobs, and some of the smaller division ones, but I was lost. I didn't know what to do. And then some pro teams called and said, hey, would you like to? So I kind of just first year just hovered, and I worked for the Padres. I just kind of did nothing, to be quite honest with you. Gave my opinion a lot, which wasn't very valuable because I didn't know the pro game, because my pro experience was in the minor leagues back in the 80s. Anyways, then the Padres said, well, why don't you manage this next summer? I had a little boy that I was raising by myself at the time. He was 10. He was all into it. So it gave me a good opportunity to go out and give him the experience. And we went to Eugene, Oregon, and managed a couple of years in that short season league and did spring training. It was a great experience for my son. So, yeah, did that and then got a chance to do it in AAA 3 years and learned a lot. And then got an opportunity to do it in the big leagues. And then Counts called me and said, you want to come be my bench coach? Well, Padres wouldn't let me go. Then I got named manager, interim manager in the big leagues. Then after that was over, I went to the Brewers with Counts. And yeah, Counts and I stayed together for 8 years, and we've had a great run.
All right, so when did you know that Counsel was leaving?
Yeah, the day he left. I sensed it earlier in the year, you know, that, you know, Craig's been a grinder. You know, like he earned his – nobody knew him in college, and then he became a really good player in college. We were doing really good things. And then he went out and he had to earn his way. He signed for $10,000 or something. And he had to earn his way to the big leagues. And then got in the big leagues and got released and got moved and won a World Series. And then still, you know, had to resurface with the Diamondbacks after a stint with the Dodgers. You know, this guy's never been, you know, he never got a big contract, none of that kind of stuff, relatively. But he was a winner. He had 2 World Series rings, and every team loved having him. Well, he had never been in this spot before. Then he comes to being a manager after a great, you know, long career. But he becomes a manager, and then he starts looking around saying, I'm doing it longer than anybody else, and we're having great success at the smallest market in baseball, and homegrown guys, and, you know, not the biggest, you know, payroll. And sure enough, he's now a first rounder, so to speak. He had never been a first rounder. He'd never been through that. And I think he did it for a lot of other managers out there saying, hey, they need to get paid more. And he loves Milwaukee and always will. But I think we do that. You know, I told him, I said, I left Notre Dame. Nobody can believe it. I grew up loving Notre Dame. I can tell you anything about Notre Dame football history. I can tell you anything about the school. And I left it. And I... because you want to challenge yourself. And I think he did this. And I think he'll be tremendously successful. He's a great human, first and foremost, and a great dad. And, you know, again, I think he had it in his mind somewhere that he was going to do it. And I think then everything else just kind of fell in place.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get it. You get a chance to manage the Cubs. Somebody going to throw $40 million at you for something that you love, you go for it. It's going to be interesting. He'll come back and visit Milwaukee for the first time later this summer. And we heard the stories, you know, I mean, the guy still has a place, I believe, in Whitefish and grew up there, the whole thing. Because you're so close with him, is it important for you when the Cubs do come to town to kind of diffuse the situation? Because it hasn't been the prettiest since he left.
No, that's not my business. You know, that people are going to be, they're going to act the way they want to act. Anybody with any sense knows he did so much for the Brewers. He really did. And his leadership and his learning the job. I mean, he had never coached before, and him just learning the job and adjusting so quickly and being such a great decision maker. Yeah, people remember that. You know, he has given the Brewers the greatest era in Brewer history. And, well, he's a huge part of it now. Again, there's many more people working at it, the GMs and the owners and, you know, all the people involved. So, but they'll be smart enough to give Craig his place. I'll bet you they give him an ovation before this thing's over this year. I really do. I mean, this kid is true blue. This is real. Craig Counsell loves Milwaukee. Born and bred. I mean, any player that's from Milwaukee, Gavin Lux comes to town, he's from Milwaukee, Counts is talking to him. You know what I mean? Any former high school basketball player that's playing that he sees at a game or he's so into it, it's unbelievable. His whole family is. So, I think people will see the reality of it, you know, but we'll try to beat their ass when we're playing, you know?
I love that.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now and use promo code WAREHOUSE, and new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code WAREHOUSE only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Now listen, you had a little taste of it as the head man in San Diego on an interim basis. Then a few years go by, you're the bench coach in Milwaukee, and then finally Council leaves, and you get your crack here in your mid-60s to be the manager of a big league team. Was there a little bit of where, I know you're this outwardly tough guy and all that sort of stuff, but was there a little bit like, hey, man, I freaking made it?
Well, I'll tell you, there was a great feeling. There's no question. I've just said from Jump Street, if I get the opportunity, I wasn't pushing for it. I just wasn't. And I said, if I get the opportunity, it ain't about me, and I'm going to keep it not about me. So my feelings and all that happy horseshit that comes along with, oh, I made it. I look at it as a responsibility. You know, it's a responsibility to lead the staff, to lead the team, and represent the organization. Sounds like, you know, like what do you call it? Sounds like, you know, what everybody would say, but the truth is that's how I truly feel. This isn't about me. This is about carrying on the greatest Brewer era and carry it on. I was part of the first eight, but carry on the best we can. Yeah, we've got the smallest payroll or the most inexperienced team. We lost everybody. We've got a ton of injuries. So what? Just do what I got to do. And I'm excited about it.
All right. So let's get to your squad real quick. And I do appreciate your time. I know it's a game day. In the off season, just from a 50,000 bird's eye view here, I didn't think you had enough. I thought, you know, by trading Corbin Burns, by knowing that Brandon Woodruff wouldn't throw a pitch for you this year, by having an exceptionally young team, I was like, okay, there'll be a cute little story, but I don't know if they got enough. Why have you been able to do so well in the first month of the season?
These guys care. They play hard. You know, we've played 21 games, and I know one thing. There's not been one game we've been out of. Now, it might happen soon, but we haven't been out of one game. We were back 9-0 one game and had the tying run at the plate. We haven't been out of a game. We've lost, and we've won the rest. They compete. You know, like the one thing that I won't succumb to is, well, you know, we don't have enough pitching. We don't have enough power. We don't have enough. Just stir the soup and make it taste as good as it tastes. Sometimes it's not good enough. And then you move on, and the next day you do what you can. So they do what you can. My thing is win tonight. Figure out how to win tonight with what you got. The names don't matter. You know, what matters is, and Chris, you and I know, the names do matter in that when you know a player is legit. If I got Bregman playing third, that's different. You know what I mean? If I've got a legit guy playing, Dansby Swanson playing short, you know, I'm like, hey, yeah, well, we got our guys. You know what I mean? We got our guys that are pretty damn good. We've got a ton of first-time players. But our pillars, when you talk about Willy Adames and Yelich and Hoskins, William Contreras, and you talk about Freddie Peralta, Devin Williams, now Wade Miley. Now, most of those guys are hurt right now.
I was going to say.
But we'll be back. They'll be back. And in the meantime, it gives somebody else a chance to step up. We just have to survive. And then when we're on full strength, I think they're the right guys. They're about the right stuff. They're authentic. And they've been winning. So they like winning. And it's important to them. And they've either been paid or going to be paid. So they're not like in a bad phase. They're in kind of a good spot. Yeah, I think it's a good group. It's fun. And I'm just part of it, man. The staff I have is a great bunch of dudes. I mean, they're great. They care. They're diligent about what they do. So I don't have to, you know, I don't have to micromanage or any of that kind of shit. You know, I just show up every day and, we question each other. We argue. We confront. But that's part of it.
Yeah. You know? Well, let me ask you this. You said something interesting. You said we play hard. I am curious because I hear some managers or coaches, whatever sport I'm covering, say that. Are there teams that don't play hard? Is that true?
Yeah. They don't play with intent, you know, with the present intent. Think about it, Chris. You've watched a shit ton of baseball. Think about it. When a guy throws one behind your head, what happens? Okay. Bench is empty and, you know, everybody runs around. But what happens when you, the hitter, get back in the box? You're freaking present. You know what I mean? You ain't thinking about your batting average. You ain't thinking about what you're getting paid. You're thinking about, bro, throw that ball close to the dish. I'm going to smash it. That's dramatic. But, you know, you're present. If you can find a way to get present in this game of baseball, it doesn't have to be with a certain intensity, but it has to be with intent. If you can get present pitch to pitch, you can survive. And you do that enough times during a game, you're going to put yourself in a position to win a lot of the times. And that's what we do. Now, you can talk about probability and who a guy is and analytics of it. It's all great information. It really is great information. And it really does guide you if you learn about it. And I've been lucky enough, being the bench coach for 8 years, you don't have that much to do, to be quite honest. And you're covering, making sure counts has got what he needs, and you give him the answers you think. But if you get into the analytics for a while, and you get into it, and you start to look at those, that information, that data, it kind of gives you feedback that like, yeah, what I see is right, you know. But then there's a part of the game that says, well, that doesn't matter when the player's playing. When he's playing, he just has to be present. And that's the part that I think we have to get players to do. Be present in that moment, that pitch. Not when you've got your 299th home run, all you think about is getting that 300th home run. No, that's divided attention. You got to be present. That ball's coming at you with great speed and great movement, great variation. You got to time that shit up and barrel it with a round bat. You know, it's a tough thing. And pitching, you got to hit the glove. It's tough to do. And you're trying to whip it in there so he can't time it up. And that's – so I like to emphasize on that part of it, you know, being present and then turning the page. Whatever happened, now, hey, I got another opportunity. And that's that relentlessness, you know, that I love to talk about.
I love it. You got me fired up. I want to ask you one more thing. Now I'm going to let you go about your day. Jackson Churio is a guy that the baseball world is flocking to. Here he is starting his career at 19 years old. He gets the big contract before he ever steps foot in a major league batter's box. What is the one thing you saw him do early on, whether it's in spring training or now in the early part of the season, where you turned to one of your guys and was like, man, oh man, I wish I could have been that special.
Yeah, well, you know, the way his hands work through the zone, you can call it bat speed. I wouldn't just define it as that. Like, his hands work through the zone in a way that when he flushes a ball, it jumps off his bat. You're like, damn, you know. Now, he's not a small kid, but he's not huge either. And he's all of 19. Like, you can see it all the way through him. And beautiful kid, by the way, beautiful kid, beautiful smile. And I think you know exactly what that means in today's world and getting all that thrown at him. He's really under control. And our guys, Adames and Contreras, have done a great job of, and some of our coaching staff has done a great job of kind of keeping him in line in a good way. But he's not tough. He's easy. And that smile, he was terrible in spring. Oh, God. If you were watching spring training and you watched him play the outfield, you'd be like, bro, we got problems. But whatever it was, it's understandable. It's understandable because whatever the pressure he was feeling or whatever, he got through it. You know, we tried to help him, but he was the one that got through it. He got through it. And then once those lights went on, we made this bold decision to lead him off in the first game. Like, screw it. We're facing a lefty. We haven't seen a lefty since, by the way. Facing a lefty, let him off. And he walked in his first at bat, stole a base, and he looked – and then in the outfield, he looked like a normal outfielder. You're like, what in the hell? Was this kid fooling us or what? But he was – he's been great. he's been great. He's young. He's young. I look at, you know, I'm friends with the Holidays, and I got to know Jackson when Jackson was like 5 years old. They lived in my guest house when I was in Tempe. Matt and Leslie moved in and for a spring training when he was with Oakland. And I got to know Jackson and Ethan. And when we played against Jackson last week for his debut, I was just like, I was crushed seeing that tension and all the, you know, he just can't be himself. He's just not comfortable yet. He's not in the now. He's not in the present. And it's just a lot on these young kids. So Jackson's going through some of that too. So, yeah, it's hard to see, but you can't let him go through it. It's like parenting, right? You got to let him go through it. You got kids, Chris?
Oh, yeah. 23 and 18. I'm right in it. Right in it. I got to be honest with you, Skip.
That's beautiful, isn't it? Isn't it?
I'm winding down my athletic career as a father, meaning that our youngest son is a baseball player, but he's not going to play in college next year. So he's got two regular season games left, and then we got the playoffs. And we had senior day last week, and I'm crying my eyes out. He's going to go to Butler in Indianapolis. He's still
going to – I love it, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hinckley Fieldhouse, man. You got to go
– Yeah.
You got to go see him, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we went, saw the whole bit, but it's – like, I'm having a hard time with it because sports has been such a big part of my life. Like, I was a mess at senior day last week just looking at him. He's 18 years old. He's the sweetest kid, but he's got a full beard. And I'm like, what happened to my little kid, man?
That's beautiful. Yeah, I've got a 37-year-old, 23-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 5-year-old. So, all the same mom. All the same mom. I'm just kidding.
Oh, God. don't you love doing that? Yeah, I'm not the guy that fell for that.
They love giving me a hard time. They always tell me, like, hey, if a woman's in the locker room, they're like, hey, be careful. Murph gets next to you, you might get pregnant. Jesus.
But I've got my 37-year-old just ran Boston for her fourth time. She married Alvarez, Pedro Alvarez, the third baseman from
what a great guy.
Pirates. Yeah, Pedro and they live in Jersey. Pedro works for us. And they got two little ones. So I got two grandkids. And then my 23-year-old's with the Padres. He's in the minor leagues in high A. And my 9-year-old and 5-year-old, they're my life, man. I thought I was done parenting. And no, it's my life. It's more important than anything.
Good for you, man. God, that is awesome. I love it. I love it. Yeah. That is so good. Hey, you've done an exceptional job. I know it's not about you, but enjoy the ride because you deserve it.
Thank you.
The city of Milwaukee is a great place. It's near and dear to my heart. I had an aunt that lived there forever. So I wish you the best of luck. You're a good dude. And keep enjoying the ride. All right. This was a pleasure.
I'll do my best. It was my pleasure meeting you and talking to you. I watch you for years and respect you. Great to be here.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, man. So that'll do it for our amazing producer, Robbie Scirocco, and our entire crew here at John Boy Media, including Pat Murphy, who might be having another kid sometime in the near future. You never know.
Stop it.
I am Chris Rose. We'll see you next time here on the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.